Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. Thank you, Katrien. Well, I'm Kevin de Rudder. I'm working for a company called eGuidelines, where I basically work as a web developer, covering the stuff that we're going to see today, but also the things on the backend side, like MVC, ASP.NET, classic web forms, and so on. Next to this, I also give courses for the Technical University of West Flanders, where I'm preparing, let's say, maybe your next colleagues in a few years. If you would be having questions after this session, you can always email me at kevin@eguidelines.be. Don't forget that there is a dash between the E and the G so that you don't have the wrong email address. You can also follow me on Twitter as well, even if you just want to chat about a few things out of the scope of this session, so don't hesitate to do this as well. So, what's the goal of today? Well, the goal of today is to take an existing website, and I picked the MVC website that you can find on CodePlex. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to change that website so that it's also available on a mobile phone. If I'm just going to show you what we have right now, this is the coder that you can download. Let me open this here, and I'm going to run this page. Now what you will see is that this website is created to be viewed on a desktop. When I'm going to load that site on a mobile phone, and it's not this one that I want to show you, it's going to be another one. Okay, load. I see that's another number, it's not one, but two. You see that this website is not prepared to be seen on a mobile phone. So that's what we're going to do today. We're basically going to create, or we're going to change that existing website so that it becomes available on a mobile version. I'm going to switch back to the slides. And this is what you see here on the right on that slide. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the content, but I'm also going to make sure that people can easily click on the menus that you will see here on the left. Now for those who are now panicking and saying, oh damn, I don't know what MVC is, I never did that before. Well, I promise you that I'm not going to write any MVC-related stuff. So I'm not going to touch a controller, I'm not going to touch a model. I'm really going to focus on the HTML and on the CSS that is needed to get this page working. Now, if you are very curious on how this works, what you will have to do is you can download the ready coder from the MVC music store at codeplex.com. So just open up your favorite search engine and type MVC music store, and it will probably be the first one in your link. But I'm also going to post the solution of what we're going to do today on my blog at the end so that you can also download the correct code so you can do this at home as well. Okay, so what's on the agenda? Well, on the agenda, we're first going to talk about why do we need this topic. And then we're going to discuss a little bit about native and versus web applications. And we're going to make a responsive design by using HTML5 tags and CSS3 design coded to get everything working on our MVC site. Okay, so why this topic? Well, I'm pretty sure that everybody knows that mobile is getting more and more important. And even today, this session is the, let's say, the correct setting to demonstrate this. We have now a few people sitting at home or at the company following this session, but it could be when this session is going to be on channel 9 that you're going to follow the session on a mobile device as well. Let's say that, for example, you want to follow it on a tablet while you can do this. So that is what I want to point out today as well, that this for us web developers is very important, that you need to prepare your work, your web application, so that it can be viewed on all kinds of devices. For example, Mark Walsh already said in 2010 that mobile is going to outspace the desktop by 2013. I don't know if you've got it, but we're now 2012, so 2013 is very close. And if you look at a lot of websites in the world, they're just not prepared to be viewed on a mobile phone. So that's something that we need to be aware of. And when we take a look at the following slide, we see that about 7 billion people in the world already have a mobile phone. And if you look at the chart on the left, what you will see is that almost a quarter of that 7 billion people is connected on the internet via a data connection. So the chances are very big that within a few years, people will visit your site, is going to buy things, is going to search things on your site by using their mobile phone. So for us developers, web developers, it is time to write the code and to target all the devices. And that's a little bit the setting that we have today. Now the big question is, how do you do this? Well, you have two options. Or you can create a native application, or you can create a web application. Now, I cannot give an answer to you for your particular case, but the question is more like, okay, what do I want to use? Do I want to make use of the native features of a device, or am I just going to show content? Now, content is very big. Content can also be a video, can be audio, can be a drawing inside the canvas. So you need to be aware of all the possibilities that you have nowadays to make this decision. Now, let's run over the possibilities that you have when you want to create a native application. Well, if you want to create a native application that, for example, will run on the Windows tablet, well, then you need to create a Windows Metro application. And when you want to create a Windows Metro application, and then you have, again, two options. You can go for XAML to make the user interface, and for the behavior, you can choose between C#, VB.NET, or C++. The good thing for me, is because I love HTML, is that you can also create HTML applications together with JavaScript and get this working on the Windows tablet. Now, if you want to create an iOS application, then you will need to write some Objective-C, and you will have to write Java if you want to create an Android application. And I'm forgetting devices here. I did not forget them. I thought I was not going to mention them because I want to save a lot of space on my slide. But for example, the BlackBerry is not mentioned on this slide. But basically, what does this mean? This means that you will have to write different technologies, write different code for each device. And this is, and I'm only speaking in my case right now, this is not an option that I will go for. What I want to have is I want to write code once, and that this code should run on each device on the market. And this is where HTML5 and CSS3 is going to help us. HTML5 and CSS3, while basically making web applications, allow us to write code that will run on each device that has a browser. And that is good news. Now, for those who are now thinking, yeah, but I want to use the native features, well, at this moment in time, HTML5 and CSS3 is only used to, yeah, let's say, deliver content. If you want to talk to the native features, I will come back to the previous slide. Well, then you can go and choose for PhoneGap. What is PhoneGap? Well, PhoneGap allows you to write HTML5 code and CSS3, use JavaScript to write behavior for your HTML5 tags like video, audio, and so on. And the good thing with this is that PhoneGap allows you to access the native features of a specific device. Now, PhoneGap allows you to write software for, I think, up to 7 platforms: Windows Phone, iOS, Android, and so on. So if you have time and you're really interested in this, just take a look at www.phonegap.com, and you will find all the information needed to make an application that will run on multiple devices. As I said, I forgot a slide, which is maybe a very important slide if we want to continue with this session. I know on the slide it's saying that you should use HTML to deliver content and you should use CSS for the user interface. Now, the reason why I repeat this over and over again is because a lot of websites still mix these two things up. So what I see is that a lot of HTML tags are using the width and the align, which is basically obsolete right now, but they're still using it in HTML. Now, if you want to create web applications that are acting responsive to the device, then you should stick to these two rules, because media queries, what we're going to see later, is really going to focus on CSS and on the UI, and not what you're going to write in your HTML code that we're going to do in a few minutes. So let's move on. There you go. Now, a quick word on HTML5. What is HTML5? HTML5 is a bunch of new features that you can use together with some JavaScript. Not with some JavaScript, with a lot of JavaScript. And most of these features go hand in hand with the JavaScript API. For example, if you want to play, pause, fast forward, rewind a video, well, there is a JavaScript available to do this. If you want to make some drawings on the canvas, well, there is a JavaScript canvas API that you need to use to make your drawings. So that is basically what HTML5 is, a set of new features together with some JavaScript. Now, we're not going to talk too much about HTML5. We're only going to use the new structured tags of HTML5 to get our application up and running. But that's something that we're going to cover in a few minutes. The same story for CSS3. CSS3 is also a collection of new features that are available right now that you can use. And what are the features that we're going to use today? Well, basically, we're going to do our talk on media queries. But in the code that you can download, so in our solution that I'm going to put on my blog at the end of this session, you will see that there will also be some code for rounded corners, for borders, specific selectors, and the background as well. So these are all the different kinds of features that we're going to use in our application. Now, important, HTML5 and CSS3 is not ready yet. It still is a work in progress. The good news for today is that all the things that I'm going to write today will work in all the modern browsers. Now, I'm going to show you a trick in a few minutes to get it working in all the browsers as well. But from the moment that you have a modern browser, you don't have to worry about the code that you're going to download. It will work for you as well. So what you see here is that HTML5 here at the bottom is still a work in progress. But also note that media queries, what we have here, is also not finished yet. It's a candidate recommendation, but I will come back on this in a few moments because I saw somewhere that it was a proposed recommendation by now. So I will explain that in a few moments. Now, what if a browser that you implement, is not going to work with a specific feature? Well, a good example or a recommendation is to use Modernizer. What is Modernizer? Modernizer is an open source JavaScript library that is going to help you when you're going to create an HTML5 or CSS3 application. And it already helps you for the most simple things. The only thing that you will have to do is just drop a link on your page and everything works. And to show you how easy it is, let me go back to my desktop. And let me minimize this, go here. Now, what is this? Well, this is the working version of our site. What you see, for example, over here is something that I'm going to explain in a few minutes, but this is a specific HTML5 tag. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to run this application. So this is my MVC Music Store site. And when I'm going to switch the browser mode to an older version, for example, here to Internet Explorer 8, loading, what you will see is that this website is messed up. But as I said, with a modernizer, you can easily solve this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make some space here below the jQuery script, and I'm going to drop from the scripts folder a reference to my modernizer script. Put it here. We don't need this for now. And I'm going to save this file. Go back to the browser, change that here, refresh the page, and what you see is I didn't do anything special. It was Modernizer who did the stuff for me and made sure that this page is available in Internet Explorer 8 as well. Now, I'm also going to, just for the sake of it, switch this to Internet Explorer 7, because if I wouldn't do it, you would definitely do it at home. Switch to Internet Explorer 7, it is loaded, and still Modernizer makes sure that this web page is as it should be on Internet Explorer 7 as well. So there you go, you see how easy it is to use a Modernizer just by linking this script on my page, and Modernizer is going to do all the work for us to get it working. I'm just going to stop a few things here. Okay, go back to the slides. Okay, so that's the story for Modernize. I'm not going to use it anymore, but keep it in mind for all your web applications. Okay, so now that we know this, we know that we're going to use HTML5, we know that we're going to use CSS3, and we know that Modernizer is going to help us to get our application available in all the browsers. So let's start and change our MVC site so that it can be used on a mobile device as well. And the first thing that you need to do is something that you say, oh, that's what we always do, but at the end, nobody does it or nobody thinks too much about it, is think about the content. And this is an important thing because the content that you want to show on a mobile device will be different from the content that you're going to show on a desktop, for example. So this is something that we first need to think about. And to give you an example, this is a screenshot that I took from my Twitter page. It's a screenshot that I took, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. So what I was just saying, that content that we're going to use will be different on a mobile device than the content that you're going to use on a desktop, for example. And what we see over here is a screenshot that I took from my Twitter page last week. And what we see is that on the page, basically what do we see here is, of course, the tweets of my followers or of the people that I follow, sorry. And also the possibility to compose a new tweet. Because we have the space, Twitter decides to put some things on the site to say, hey, Kevin, if you want, you can also follow BMW in this case or Stefan Lamberichts. And at the bottom, they also have a few links that I can use to have a look at what people are talking about at this moment in time. But this application would not be good on your mobile phone because it takes a lot of content on your page. So what will happen is that we're going to, for example, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, that thing on the left, who to follow, is not interesting on a mobile phone. If I want to see the people that I maybe I'm going to like, I could, for example, go to a specific page that is going to list up all that people. The same for the trends. If I want to follow the trends, well, basically, then I again go to another page to see, okay, what's trending right now? When I'm going to navigate to the Twitter page using my mobile phone, the only thing that I want to do is read the messages of the people that I follow and, of course, the option to compose a new tweet. And if we look at the mobile version of Twitter, this is exactly what happens. At the top, you have the option to compose a new tweet, but at the bottom, you have the messages of the ones that you follow. So this is basically thinking about content. And the content can react differently from on a mobile device than on a desktop. Now, the problem is, how do you point to specific content on your page? Because in HTML, and I'm not talking about HTML5, in HTML5, there is no way how you can say, okay, this is definitely going to be the menu. This is definitely going to be the thing that we'll have on the top. So you will see a lot of web pages, and let's say that 80% of all the websites in the world look like this. They will have something that will act as a header. They will have something that will be the navigation, something that sits on the left. This could be some publicity, this could be some tweets, this could be some RSS feed, and so on. But the problem is, and this is what I'm trying to point out in this slide as well, is that how are you going to call this thing? Some people call the menu the navigation, other people will call it the menu, but what if we took the menu and we are looking at the website of a restaurant, then menu can have a whole different meaning. So now with HTML5, what did they do? Well, they just used some tags that are now a standard. So now we can say, okay, the thing that we will have on the top, now you don't have to put it on top, it could also be a header in your section, for example, but this will be used as the header of your page. And below that, we're going to have the navigation. At the bottom, of course, we have the footer, and the middle we have content. And content can be in articles and in sections, and we have some content on the side as well. Now this is for us good news, because this allow us to directly point to specific content on our page. But also, let's say for example, within a few years we have a smart browser where people can say, okay, I'm not interested in the footer, well then the browser can automatically hide the footer because now these tags are standards. So what are we going to do in our ASP.NET site? Well, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to define our header, which is going to be the logo, and we're going to define our footer. That's the thing that we have at the bottom. That home store cart admin thing that you see on the right, this is going to be our navigation, and in the middle, we will have the content, and we're going to put the content in what we call a section. In that main section, on the left, we have yeah, the genres, the categories to click on to see only music for that category. So this is the thing that we're going to put on the side, and in the middle, we're going to have our content with a promotion image and some images of the music in what we call the article. Now, if we want to change this version into a mobile version, what we will do is the following. So this is the result that we're going to have at the end of today. But now we can say, because we have the correct tags, we know what the header is, we can use CSS to place the header there. The navigation under the header, because we won't have place on the right to do this. We're going to have the footer at the bottom. It's not on the screen because it's not so relevant right now. In the middle, we will have our section with the content. And then we will first mention the categories that was in the aside tag at the top. And below that, we're going to have a look at the articles. So this is basically the idea that we're going to do in a few minutes with HTML5. Okay, so let's switch back to my desktop, to my Visual Studio. Now what I did is, this is exactly the same version as what you would download from the Codeplex site. So go to the Codeplex site, download the MVC tutorial, and this is the result, this is the solution of that tutorial. Now what you see is something that I already mentioned. So a few guys created this website, and they used div ID header, div ID main, and div ID footer. This is what I just mentioned, that 80% of all the websites look like this. Well, this is another example. Now what I'm going to do is, I'm first going to start creating an ID page. What is this? This is just to center everything in the middle. And what I'm going to do then is, I'm going to define my structure. So we're first going to create the header. Then we're going to create my navigation. In the middle, we're going to have our content. And the content is going to be, yeah, the categories that we're going to put between the aside tags, because I want to have this on the side of my content. And we're going to have an article that is going to contain the content. The only thing that I do that I will do right now is open up the header and copy this stuff, and I'm going to place this in the header tag. I'm going to copy the navigation, place this in the navigation tags, so I can already get rid of this. This is going to render, it's a little bit of MVC stuff, but what it's going to do is going to render the categories that we want to put on the side. Okay, then we're going to have our content in an article. Our content sits here in that main, so we want to have the body of the content in here. So normally this could be, this could be any content, so just tags, paragraphs, tables, whatever you'd like. And we're going to have the footer here. I didn't create the footer tag, so let's do this quickly. Footer, and paste that over there. And just to make myself immortal, I'm going to do this as well, and Kevin Miller. So there you go. So this is using the new HTML5 structure tags, header, navigation, section aside, article, and footer, so that in a few moments, when we're going to write our CSS code, that we can directly point to the specific content, that we can say, hey, navigation, you should be below the header. Now, another thing that I'm going to do is, I'm going to change the CSS, because I already prepared a few stuff, and I created a media query site.css. Now, it still is empty. There's no media queries in there. It's just to not mess up the existing site CSS. As something that I tend to do is using a reset CSS. What is a reset CSS? Well, I downloaded this one from Eric Meyer. You will find the link here. This is just to remove all the defaults that each browser can use. So what you will see is that now when my web page is going to run, it's going to have a margin of 0 pretty much everywhere. And for example here, I'm going to tell the HTML5 tags article, aside, menu, that it should display as a block. Because if I'm not mistaken, for example, section in Firefox is rendered as a span and not as a div. So therefore, I'm using this reset CSS to make sure that every browser reacts the same on my web page. Again, I'm using the one of Eric Meyer, but if you want to download another Reset CSS, that's also good for me as well. So I just need to mention that CSS, and I'm going to copy this link here. And of course, Reset CSS should be the first one that you're going to mention. Okay, so I'm just going to check after making these changes if this page works. And okay, as you see, it still is the normal MVC site as the one that you should download. So this is what we did. We changed everything to use the new HTML5 tags. Okay, go back to the slides. Open up my slides, and there we go. So basically now we have something that looks like this. The content is ready. Now it's time to make it mobile. Now making it mobile, again, we have two choices. What are we going to do? Are we going to do a redirect, or are we going to make our website responsive by using media queries? I know you can argue, you can discuss with me about the fact that redirect could also be responsive, because when a page comes in, you could redirect it based on the settings of, for example, the browser. But let's don't argue right now and continue with the redirect. Now, what do I mean with a redirect? Well, very simple, something like this. I know maybe there are better ways to do this, but when we, for example, see that something, a request comes in, and the screen has a width of less than 320 pixels, we will guess, okay, that can be, for example, a mobile version. So what are we going to do? We're going to redirect this person to a mobile version of the site. And let me show that to you as well. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a browser and, for example, navigate to Microsoft.com. And this is the Microsoft site. Now, when we're going to do exactly the same with the emulator here, so Microsoft, please help me a little bit. There we go, Microsoft.com. What you will see is that Microsoft is going to redirect us to another site by using m.microsoft.com. And you even see that they're using a different content. Now, this is what I want to say. Only use a redirect if you want to deliver different content for the desktop as for the mobile version. There are only two problems with it in my case is, for example, let's say that I like this page. So what I want to do is I want to share it with somebody else, and I will only use messaging here because I didn't set up the email. What we will have right now is that I'm going to send this one to m.microsoft.com, which means that the person, I'm going to minimize it, I will click on the link, I will see this, m.microsoft.com, and of course you will see the mobile version of that site. So that's quite a disadvantage of this way, but as I said, only use this if you want to deliver a different kind of content than the desktop version. Okay. So what I did here, I have it on the slides as well. I love to show it to you in a demo, so I'm quickly going to skip these slides. So as this is the same as what I showed you. As I said, this is good if you want to deliver a different kind of content, but it's bad news if you want to do this. Another disadvantage or another choice that you will have to make then is, are you going to create a custom experience for each new device or for each new browser? For example, I saw a video somewhere on YouTube showing, for example, a screen of a car, and the person sitting in the back could read his Facebook on that screen. Well, the question that you have to ask yourself is, am I now going to create an autoscreen.microsoft.com? So this is something that, okay, that's your choice, but this is not something that I would do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use media queries to make our website responsive. What is the difference with a redirect is I'm going to use the same content. I'm not going to deliver a different kind of content. I'm going to use the same content, but with a different UI. Now, before we're going to move on to media queries, what is responsive? Well, responsive just means that you're going to change yourself based on the context where you're in. For example, now you see, and luckily it's an image, it's not a video, now you see the horrible setting of the spider who is going to attack the fly, but the fly is not really noticing this at the moment. Why is that? Because The spider is responsive to the context. It sits on a white flower, so the spider is white. Now, this would be a bad story for the spider if he could only sit on white flowers. So that same spider, it's by the way the crab spider, will turn into yellow if it sits on a yellow flower. So that makes the spider responsive. It's going to change itself, maybe naturally, maybe he doesn't do anything about it, it just happens, but it's going to change itself based on the flower that it sits. So that's good news for the spider, bad news for the fly. Another example is this. This is what we call transition glasses, that the glasses are going to change itself based on the amount of light. So if there is a lot of sunlight, the glasses will act as sunglasses, and otherwise it will be normal glasses. So this is also something that you should do. Your website should react on the device, even better on the characteristics of a device. So don't pin yourself to a specific device, because otherwise you have to do this for a lot of devices. But just have a look at the size of your screen and then react, change your CSS a little bit so that it can change itself. So what you, for example, see here is that this is the normal menu. It's quite small, but let me go to the desktop. And I'm going to show you the site where I have this one. You can find all these samples in mediaquery.es. This is where I took the screenshot from. So what you see is you have a lot of websites that are using this technology, the media queries, to adapt itself based on the size of their screen. Now I have some other examples as well. For example, I already mentioned Modernizer. Modernizer is doing exactly the same. So what you see right now is the page of Modernizer, and it has the full width of the browser. Now from the moment that I'm going to make my browser smaller, it's going to change the user interface based on the size of your screen. So what you see right here is that, first of all, that menu, when we go smaller, is going to be written in smaller text, but also the download area here will be under the main text while use Modernizer. Maybe a quick word on content is king. I think if I would be the developer of Modernizer and I would see something like this, it's a choice that they made. So now this could be, for example, the size on a mobile phone. Well, probably I would not download Modernizer on my mobile phone, so I would hide this section. But again, that's an example of thinking about content. Another example is something that I had to show by force of my colleagues, is multimedia.be, which is a multimedia event. I'm going to talk a little bit more later on this. And you see that my colleagues did exactly the same. We have a smaller screen, so they put everything below each other instead of next to each other. So these are some examples of media queries of responsive design. Okay. Now I have the same screenshot on the slide, so if you want to have a look at them later, you can do this. Okay, here they are, the Modernizer screenshot, the multimedia screenshot, and there you go. Now, if you want to make your website or your web application responsive, you should implement three things. First of all, you should implement a flexible grid-based layout, meaning that you're going to put everything in a specific column of your site. You're going to implement flexible images and media. What do I mean with this? Is that when your screen gets smaller, you're going to make your image also smaller. And at the end, you should work with media queries. Now, we will not have time to cover the first two bullets, but we will talk about media queries. Now, if you want to have more information on everything about responsive design, especially on the first two bullets, I can lead you to the website Responsive Web Design by Ethan Markup. He has a few of the chapters available online, so you can just read them. Or you can buy his small ebook, it's $9, which is a good series of ebooks about web design. But as I said, we're only going to focus on media queries. Now, basically, I already mentioned what a media query was, but now I have to say that media queries at this point in time is not finished. It's a candidate recommendation, but as I said last week, I saw on the Twitter page of the CSS Working Group that it's published media queries as a proposed recommendation, which means it's just one step away of becoming a full recommendation. The good news is that it works in all modern browsers. Even the previous recommendation also works. But if you would be using an older browser, then you will have to use a trick, and the trick is to use CSS3, mediaqueries.js, which is also a JavaScript library that you use. And like Modernizer, the only thing that you have to do is just put a reference on your page to the script, and this script will make sure that your website will also be responsive on older versions, older browser versions. Okay. Now, what are media queries? As I said, it allows you to write design code based on the characteristics of a device. So not on the type of the device, on the characteristics of a device. And to write a media query, you will have to do two things. First of all, a media query exists out of a media type, and this is the all that you see over here. And it also exists out of a query or a expression. Now, let's first start with the media type. Now, the media type is not something new. It was already available in the previous version of CSS. And the media type allows you to specify how a document will be shown to the user. So you will have to specify whether you want to show your web page on the screen or you want to show your web page, let's say, that they printed out on a paper, for example. And the code that you have to write, and a lot of websites don't do this, but what you will do is I'm going to refer to style.css for all media types. I'm going to refer to screen.css for all the websites that are viewed on the screen, and I'm going to refer to printed.css for all the pages, the documents that I want to show as text. Now, this is a way of using media types. This requires you to have 3 HTTP requests to download the CSS files. Now, another option is to use these queries all in one CSS file. So you're going to download a bigger CSS file, but you will only have to have one HTTP request. And what you're going to do is you're going to write your media type all screen and print, and you're going to define the CSS code in between the curly braces. Now, this is, again, something not new, and if you go to the W3C site, you will see that we have 10 media types. Now, we're not going to cover them all, but one of the things that I saw here was handheld. And I was thinking, if we want to create a mobile web application, then we should use the handheld media type. And this is what I did. I basically written the code at media screen and set it the background color of the body to red. And I also have a body for the handheld media type where I'm going to set the background color to yellow. And what you see is when I'm running this application is that on the emulator and also on the mobile phone, you will see that the background color will not be yellow, but be red. Now, what's the story behind this? Well, the story is that old browsers weren't good enough to show you these pages, so they didn't have capable browsers, so it didn't work. And the new browsers are smart enough to use screen as a media type. So if you want to target to a mobile phone, if your web application should be running on a mobile phone as well, what you should do is use the screen media type instead of the handheld media type. So that's the first thing that we will have to do in our MVC application is using screen as a media type. Now, as I said, a media query exists out of two parts. We already saw the media type. Let's have a look at the second part, which is the expression. Now, the expression is the test that you're going to write. So I'm going to write a media query that's going to run on everything, so print, basically, but also screen, braille, and so on. But the screen width, the max width, should be 640 pixels. So this, the max width, is what we call a feature, and this is the value that is going to be our test. And a media query is only applied from the moment that the test is true. Now, you have a bunch of features available, and you have some features that have a min and a max prefix and only work with them. You're going to see another interesting in a moment, but don't work with a media query with width, because then you have to be very precise
And you have to be on that specific width before your media query will work. So what you will see here is width, height, device height, but also aspect ratio, color, that's the amount of colors that the device has, and so on. You also have a few features without the min and max prefixes, and that's, for example, orientation, which is portrait and landscape, scan and grid. Now, not all the features will work on all browsers and all mobile devices. As I said, it's not really finished yet, media queries. Now, how do you implement a media query? Well, there are three ways. Or you can do, as what I showed you with the media type, have a different CSS file for your media query. But again, this requires you to have extra HTTP requests. Or you can use them all in one CSS file by using media all and then your expression, and between curly braces, you're going to write your design code. Or you can also, for example, from within your CSS file, you can do an import. When I'm making application, I will always go for option two because, okay, it's a bigger file, but it's only one HTTP request, which is a little bit faster. Okay, so this is the most simple media query that we have. Now, what I'm going to do, instead of running over the slides, I'm just going to show it to you in Visual Studio. Okay, let me close this. We don't need this anymore. Let me open up another site. I'm just going to run to show you the context. What I did is I created a web application, and in the middle of the web application, you see the width and the height so that I can show you how these media queries work. So the first thing that I'm going to do is, and I'm going to write it in comment so that you should never forget it, your first design is one without a media query. So basically, all your defaults. And you will always have to target, let's say, minimum three sizes. You will have to target wide screens. You will have to target medium screens, because then you will use, for example, hide some pictures or make some pictures smaller. And you're going to use small screens, two L's, Kevin, screens. And this is, for example, going to be used for your mobile phones. Now, normally, a good way to start with this is to start with a small screen, because that's more difficult. It makes you to think more about the content. But because we're going to start from an existing website, we're basically going to start by using the widescreen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set the body, the background color of that one to white. It's my default. And the font size or the font color, let's do it like this, is going to be black. What I'm going to do is I'm now going to target, let's say, a medium screen. And therefore, we have to write our media query, which is at media. And I'm going to target the screen. And I'm going to say that the max width is, for example, 800 pixels. Okay, let's this. And then we're going to also target a small screen at media screen. And max width is... Now, for a mobile phone, the Windows phone, but also the iPhone, it has a width of 320 pixels. So I'm going to write this so that I can target them like that. Now, what I'm going to show you to make you believe that media queries work, well, let's also set the body in here. The background color is yellow, for example. And for my small screen, we're going to set the background color body to red. Okay, save this, go back to my page, refresh it. Make it smaller. So we pass the 800 pixels. The background will turn into yellow. That's what we've written here. And we're going to even make it smaller to 320, and then it's going to turn into red. Now, as I said, be careful and use the max and min prefix. Don't use width, because then you have to be very precise. And let's see if it works. 320. And it only works on that on that value of 320. So it's not a good idea to use that one, but always work with the prefixes. Now, what are the other options that you have? Well, let's say that you want to, and I'm going to show it here, max width. I want to combine multiple queries. Well, you can do this by using the and keyword. So for example, and the max height is 600 pixels. Okay, save this. Go back to my page, refresh it. So we first of all have be bigger than this. And you see, now it's going to work from the moment that I go bigger than 600, it takes the default again because this condition is not true anymore. If you want to work with an OR relationship, then you have to use the comma. And the comma is or the max width is 800 or the max height is 600. Another option that you have is the NOT, then you're going to invert, yeah, if it's, now it's basically going to be the minimum width of 800, so that's the NOT keyword that you can use. Now what I'm going to do to test this, I'm going to open up this page, and I'm going to put it here on the background, so that I can see the URL, that I can type it. I'm going to open up this page in my emulator. So let's go HTTP, localhost, which is 5944, MQ, should have picked a smaller URL, HTM. And what you will see, and this is quite amazing, it took me a while to find out what was wrong, but you see, first of all, it's not red, although that I'm on the mobile phone and my code is saying, hey, this is a small device, so we should have a background color of red. But that is because, as you can see, the width is 1024 and not 320 pixels. This is because mobile devices work with what we call a virtual window. Why do they do this? Well, they make the virtual window even bigger than the screen of your mobile phone, just because of a lot of websites are not prepared to be viewed on a mobile phone. So what people have to do right now is they use their finger to switch from the left to the right to see the content. Now, if you want to define the width of your device, well, we can use a meta. So meta is just to add some extra information, and we can set the viewport. Now, the viewport is that virtual window. And what I'm going to say is that, okay, the width that you're going to use is really the device width. And we're going to close that. So now my mobile phone knows, I don't need to use that virtual window. I just have to pick the size of the screen. So when I'm going to hit the enter right now, you'll see at that moment, the width is 320 pixels and the background color is red. So that's also one of the things that we will have to do in our MVC application to get our MVC working. And what I'm going to do is I'm directly going to do this. I'm going to copy that viewport. I will switch to my MVC code and going to put it just as the first one in the head. Other things that you can do is, for example, set an initial scale. The default value for initial scale is 1, but you can also set it to 2, and that's like you just zoomed in a little bit. So there are a few properties that you can use over there. Okay, now what are we going to do on this page? Well, let's write some media queries to get the navigation below the header, have the genres, the categories below the navigation, and have my content below the categories. Now to do this, as I said, I already linked the media query site.css. I'm going to open it, and I made some space here. Now, what I just mentioned, foresee three different sizes, widescreen, medium, and mobile. I'm only going to work with mobile. All the CSS that you have at the top here is, let's say, your default CSS. If the query is not met, it's going to use this CSS. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write media. It's going to be on the screen, and we're going to set the max width to 320 pixels because I want to target the mobile phone like this. Now, to do this step by step, what I'm going to do is I'm going to first write a sort of little helper, header, navigation, section, aside, article, and my footer. I'm going to hide it so that we can do this step by step. I'm going to remove this. We're going to say display none. So let's go back to the page. I'm going to close this one. We don't need it. Refresh the page, and what you see that from the moment that it goes smaller than 320, that's what I would expect. Or did I make a mistake? Yeah, I have two curly braces here. It's Visual Studio that helps me, but I'm too fast. So we've written too many curly braces here. Refresh. make it smaller, and you see that from the moment everything is gone. So now I can build up the user interface. Now if we're going to run this in our mobile device, let's see, I'm just going to remove this, and the link is 26642. There you go. And it's white because I set the viewport and this has a width of 320 pixels. So let's move this on the right. Have something like this over there. Have this on the left so that we can focus on the CSS. And we're going to start with a header. So I'm going to remove the header. Save. Refresh the page. And what you will see is that we have a big header right now. What I want to do is, because I want to save some space, I want to have that image, that records image on the right, have the text a little bit more to the top and make it a little bit smaller as well. Now what I will do is I'm going to take that default CSS, which I can find, that's the footer over here, and I'm going to change that. I'm not going to change that here. I'm going to change that at the bottom, so paste it over here. And as I said, we're going to remove that border at the bottom. I'm going to set the margin a little bit smaller. We're going to change the font size to 0.7m. Okay, that's the first thing that we're going to do. So let's refresh this and see what happens. We already saw that, okay, the border is gone and the letters are smaller. That this is the background position of that image, of that logo. Now it's on the top left. I'm going to put it on the right, okay, there you go, and I'm going to put the text a little bit higher, so let's change the padding to 20 as well, and this is the first step. This is going to be the header, and do notice, and let me show it to you before you don't believe me anymore, this is still the normal version. If we make this window smaller, see what happened. Okay, the next step is the categories, that the menu that you see over there. What I want to have is I want to have that menu below the header, because the menu, the navigation is quite long. I'm just going to drop it from the toolbox, navigation. I'm just going to explain it, what happens. Well, what I'm going to do is, first of all, I'm going to set the background color of the menu to a specific color. And I'm going to work with round edges, the border edges, which is the CSS3 feature. I'm going to set the color white and so on. This is pretty normal. We don't need this, I think. Let's see. Save it, refresh. There is my menu. So what I'm basically doing here is just having the menu with a background color red. It's orange, I'm sorry, and setting the border radius and the border, which is white. It's not maybe directly visible on your screen because it's small, but believe me, it's a white border around that navigation. So that's the next step that we did. The following thing that we need to do is this content over here, we need to show it. And I'm going to start with the main content, so with the section. We need to make the section available and the content itself. So save this, refresh. So what you see right now is that it shows my promotion image and the images, normally that would be good images of that the music that we have over here. But what I'm going to do is, first of all, this is the promotion image. I don't want to see the promotion on the mobile version, so I'm going to type promotion here, which is going to be display none. Okay, refresh it. So that I have more space to show the content. On a mobile phone, we don't see the promotion. On the desktop version, we will have to see the promotion. The last thing that we need to do is we need to set the categories here. But the problem with these categories is that there are normal links. So on a mobile phone, you will have to use your finger to navigate. And these links are too small for the finger. So what I'm going to do, first of all, is I'm going to set the thing on the side and the section, first of all, to width of 100%. So to take horizontally all the space that it can find. Let me remove this. We don't need this anymore. And then I'm going to drop this over there. I'm quickly going to explain it. Oops. Yeah, it's nothing bad. Save. We have the categories here. What I'm going to say is this is, yeah, font family stays the same. But more important is that I'm going to set a different background color to gray and make them look like buttons, although that they're still our links. But I'm going to work with buttons and I'm going to give them a specific height so that people have the place to use their finger to click on these buttons. So save that, refresh, and you see that now we have buttons to navigate through our through the categories of music. If we take a look at our desktop version, refresh, it still looks the same. From the moment that we make it smaller, it will change into the mobile version. And that's the difference with, if you compare this with a redirect. I'm using the same content, but I'm using media queries, I'm using CSS to deliver the content on a different way. And again, therefore, it's important to keep your HTML, stick to content, and CSS is the thing that you will have to use to create a user interface. So application is done. Let me go back to the slides to pretty much all the demos that I showed you here. This is combining multiple queries. This is the OR relationship. This is the NOT that you can use. And then we saw the demo. Okay, to finish this session up, I'm just going to give you some resources. Well, first of all, again, the book apart. Now, I do not get sponsored of this. It's not that I'm getting money every time that I mention this one, but it's a really good book. Another good place for information, css3.info. And, of course, the W3C site to get to know everything about the new standards. And, therefore, I want to thank you by saying thank you for listening. And if you have questions, email me on kevin@eguidelines.be.